Easter morning to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time with us in worship, we are glad that you have found your way here. If you have any questions about our communities of worship, fellowship, mission, and education, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder at the communion table following worship today for any of the questions you might have. As you can see from the table, we are celebrating the sacrament of communion, and please know that the table is open and welcoming of all. And also, a special welcome this morning to our youngest worshipers. Gates takes very seriously our welcome that we extend to you, and we know that sometimes worship can get a little long, and you get a little wiggly, but that's okay. Your wiggles and giggles are part of the joyful noise that we use to praise God. Though if the adult you brought with you this morning starts to get uncomfortable, you can always visit the nursery and toddler room located just out these doors down the hallway where our staff and volunteers will be glad to welcome you. Friends, let us now prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire bodies to worship our risen Lord. Friends, please stand as you are comfortable and able and join together in the call to worship. Everyone, did you hear it? The stone roll, the grave clothes being folded, the body rise. It was like a whispered alleluia in the stillness of the dawn, but it was real. Christ has risen. Wait, did you hear it? The angels' muffled laughter as the women reached the tomb. the dawn break over the garden, revealing footprints in the dew. The mountains bow in slow grandeur just out of the corner of your eye. It was like something shifting at the edge of your sight, but it was real. Christ has risen.
Hallelujah. Christ has risen.
And this is not a joke. Did you hear it? The world holds its breath. The stars hesitate. The sun lingers, and creation fills its lungs. The air swells so that the whole earth can proclaim, Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.
Christ has risen indeed.
Please join me in the prayer of confession printed in your bulletin. God of grace, despair, pain, and fear are part of life. Sometimes we let them guide us. Sometimes we let them hold us back from living your way, and we lose sight of your strong love. Help us be a brave and holy people, living beyond fear. Teach us to trust in your steadfast love. Amen. This is the good news. God raised Jesus from death, turning sorrow into joy and despair into hope. All is transformed on this resurrection morning. Alleluia and amen.
At this time, I would invite the children of all ages to come forward. Some of you I know have seen this before, right? Yes. Do you know why this is my favorite Bible? How did you know? You read my sermon, maybe? Okay, no. You're totally right. It's because there's a caterpillar hiding on each and every page. And this week, I was paying special attention to the caterpillar that made his way through the Holy Week story. And because, do you know his name? Do you know the name of the caterpillar? What is it? Squiggles! It's like you guys have read this before. I made my own little squiggles because Squiggles is so tiny. He's sometimes very hard to find. So I wanted to make sure you could see Squiggles. And I'm going to tell you the story of Holy Week from Squiggles' point of view. So Squiggles the caterpillar on Palm Sunday, remember, that was last week. I think that Squiggles found his way onto a palm branch. And as all of the people were waving their palm branches, Squiggles took a ride. And he flew off at palm branch. And Squiggles made his way to the room with Jesus and his disciples as Jesus washed disciples' feet. Do you know what I think happened to Squiggles then? I think he got a little wet. He might have gotten dirty from all their dirty feet. Ew. And then Squiggles made his way to the table where Jesus and his friends had a meal together. And I think Squiggles got a little snack as some of the bread fell from the table. You can see we have the table set for communion today too. And then Squiggles made his way to the cross, a very sad day when Jesus died. And I believe that was the time when Jesus was laid in the tomb. Squiggles, the caterpillar, he made his own dark place called, does anyone know a cocoon? Yes, good job. Yes, or a chrysalis. And yes, awesome. And Squiggles lived in his chrysalis until the tomb opened when Mary and the other women came to find Jesus. And what do you think happened to Squiggles in his cocoon? Do you know what happened? He turned into a, oh my goodness, butterfly. And Squiggles, now a butterfly, flew out of the tomb and went to tell all of his caterpillar and butterfly friends, of course, the good news that Jesus was risen, and today I have butterflies for all of you to take home as a reminder of God's love for you. Moms, dads, grandparents, and caregivers, please note there are magnets in the bottom of the caterpillars, which may or may not be safe for young children. Your public safety announcement of today. All right, who would like a butterfly? All right, come up and grab one. Ready? Can you hand some to your friends? Can you hand them back? No, we all want to choose. Of course we do. Hello, happy Easter, sweetie. Ready? A butterfly. All right, just grab one and head back to your seats. Beautiful. I know we all have favorite colors, don't we? You want a blue one or a green one? Or you don't care? I'll treat you. All right, well, you're supposed to share with friends. Here you go.
Our first reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe.
Thank you.
Alleluia. Amen. And we hear the Easter story this morning as it comes to us from the Gospel of John. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." And then Peter and the other disciples set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And then Simon Peter came and, following him, went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead, and then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord. I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him. I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the other disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Mother Nature has decided to play her own trick on us this morning. But unfortunately, we know that blowing cold in April happens with greater frequency in Rochester than April Fools falling on this day. For those of you who retain random amounts of trivia in your head, the last time Easter and April Fools coincided was 1956. Hopefully, we don't have to wait 62 years for the snow piles in the parking lots to melt, or for the sloppiness of our lawns to dry, and the flowers, maybe the flowers, will yet emerge. Our theme this Lent here at GPC has been transforming faith. And well, it has indeed stretched our imaginations beyond the cold and snow, towards spring, hopefully, and Easter. We have filled the sanctuary with these traditional symbols of spring and Easter, the butterfly. Perhaps One day soon, the real ones will make their return trip home from Mexico and find their way to our backyards and green spaces where they will undergo their own process of transformation. See, when I was in first grade, I can remember my teacher ordering one of those caterpillar to butterfly kits that came with the mesh netting habitat and the squirmy caterpillars in those plastic containers. And they guaranteed that 3 out of 5 caterpillars would turn into happy adult butterflies. I have no idea how they could guarantee the emotional state of an insect. But sure enough, in the span of 2 weeks, the very hungry caterpillar grew plumper, its body transforming into the chrysalis, and emerged as a butterfly. And in my childlike mind, I often wondered, what happened in that chrysalis? What was it like for a caterpillar to be cocooned away from the light of the world and encased in his or her tiny little tomb? Was it a warm and comfy place where the soft-skinned worm gained that thicker skin and little legs sprouted out and eventually the gossamer wings emerged from its back? I wondered if we listened carefully enough, might there be tiny shouts of alleluia as the light cracked through the chrysalis and the beautiful butterfly flew to the heavens? You see, I always assumed that this process of transformation was gentle and beautiful, turning from one thing into another. And then all my illusions were sliced open and dissolved into a pile of oozy goo when I heard a Radiolab podcast with a biologist. Oozy pile of goo. No joke here. This is how he described what he found when he dissected a day-old chrysalis. There's no caterpillar, no butterfly, nothing even halfway in between that resembles what it was or what it will become. As it turns out, when a caterpillar enters its tomb, the cells rupture, muscles dissolve, and all that is left is an amino acid and protein soup. The biologist calls what happens to the caterpillar cataclysmic, easy for me to say, and catastrophic. It's actually a rather violent transformation, an utterly disruptive change. Now, who says that science and faith can't work together? You see, this symbol resonates anew with me this Easter, that in order to emerge from the chrysalis, in order to enable a new birth of beauty and wonder, caterpillar transforms into something messy and broken and unrecognizable. The caterpillar experiences its own Good Friday, without dying, of course. And we know that death is an important part of this story for us to remain connected to on this Easter morning. Because just a few days ago, an already bloodied and broken Jesus was lifted onto a crossbeam of wood where he underwent further injustice, torture, and humiliation. And as the light disappeared from the earth, Jesus would have been barely recognizable to his mother and few remaining friends. Jesus died a death few of us can barely imagine. Before his body, hurriedly anointed, wrapped, and placed in the tomb by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus before the Sabbath began. And we have no idea what happened in that tomb. This entire event was between Jesus and God. But when Jesus emerges, the transformation is cataclysmic. Jesus is not the man that he was, and Mary doesn't even recognize him. And her transformation occurred not when she saw him, but when he spoke her name, Mary. And she turned. The gospel writer points to Mary's transformation, the way in which Jesus disruptively changed her whole life, in these two words, such a subtle way. John writes, she turned. Such a profound understatement. So easy to skim over in the grand scheme of what is going on in this story. Yes, Mary physically turned toward Jesus' voice, but she also completely turned in terms of her perspective. What she thought she knew about grief and loss and death was upended. Remember, Mary was her own gooey mess of tears and weeping. She was unwilling to leave the tomb and return home with the other disciples to learn how to live and survive in the Good Friday pain and brokenness of the world. Mary turns and recognizes not only Jesus, but also the transformation in herself, her true self, the way she was and the way God created her to be. The way she can be now. Because resurrection is so entirely confusing and bewildering. Trust me, not even the church has got this figured out. But we do know resurrection is so entirely transforming that it dissolves the power of sin and violence and suffering and grief, and death no longer has the final word. She turned. And to be honest, her transformation has nothing to do with some theological understanding of resurrection or church doctrine and dogma required for membership. Mary turns toward a relationship, a love that she has for her dear friend and teacher. The church today has a lot to learn from this moment. For Mary's turning and transformation is ours as well. And one preacher notes that now Mary could see the moments of resurrection and possibility and new life in all kinds of people. Even in people who, though were just living ordinary lives, but now Mary could see we're actually working alongside God, transforming the world by their kindness, their acts of justice and generosity towards each other and towards strangers, their willingness to speak up for those who are afraid, their ability to listen to each other without yelling. Now that Mary has been given the gift to see all that important resurrection work happening around her, she has a job to do. Go. Tell. The risen Christ was counting on her turning, her Easter transformation, to spread her wings and live into this experience by sharing it with others. Being in relationship with others. And this is our calling too. Living into Easter doesn't mean a denial of the struggles or thinking that we somehow by ourselves are going to make all things new. Friends, God is calling our names, inviting our turnings, and true trust in the hope that Easter has dawned. that through the resurrection mystery, God is still working out God's mercy and justice alongside each and every one of us. So go. Go from this place today with refrains of Alleluia still ringing in your ears and the hope that butterflies will one day return to Rochester, and share the good news that transforms our faith even today. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Thank you.
and wine is now made ready. It is the table of the company with Jesus and all who love him. It is a table of sharing with the poor of the world with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth in which Jesus Christ became incarnate. So come, come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more, you who have been here often, and you who have not been here for a long time, and you who have followed Jesus, and you who have failed, come. For it is our risen Lord who invites us to meet him here. He says that he invites all those who trust him to share this feast. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at the table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Christ is risen. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy mystery that is entirely, completely holy love. You are creative and self-giving, generously moving in all the near and distant corners of the universe. Nothing exists that does not find its source in you. Through fear-filled days and aching nights when powers of death have done their worst, your love never deserted us. Even when we turn away from you, you are with us. Your presence never fails us. Your gifts of hope and new life transform us. We praise you for Jesus Christ, risen to life eternal as your love. With the women at the tomb, we raise the strain of gladness, hallelujah. Life is stronger than death. The day of resurrection has come, scattering fear and gloom. And so we rejoice with all your people of every time and every place, with the angels and archangels to proclaim the glory of your name.
It is Jesus, God incarnate, the risen Christ, who joins us together as a community of broken but hopeful believers, loving what he loved, living what he taught, and striving to be his faithful servants in our time and place. In this meal, we remember Jesus, his promises, and the price he paid for who he was, what he said, and what he did. We do remember. We remember his life of love, his friendship, his teaching, his dying, and his rising to life again. In sharing this meal, we live out the mystery of our faith.
Continually transform the world around us. Bless this bread and this cup, the wheat and the grape, the farmer and the harvest, the seed and the sower, so that in the sharing of these simple elements in community, we may taste and see your goodness. Through Christ, in Christ, and with Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, God most holy, now and forever. We give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought his friends around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, and so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength, he took common bread and he made it holy, just as he takes common people like each and every one of us and makes us holy. To remember, he asked that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it, so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink this, do this in remembrance of me." And so, friends, we break bread and we drink the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, the promise of new life and faith to hope anew. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. Friends, this is the body of Christ broken for you. Taste the goodness of God's grace. Said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Come to me and never hunger. Believe in me and never thirst again. Friends, taste the goodness of God's grace.
Let us pray. Thank you, O Christ, for this feast of life. We are fed by your love. We are strengthened by your life. We are sent forth into this world to live your way and share your joy. We are now commissioned to feed as we have been fed, forgive as we have been forgiven, love as we have been loved. Pray as we have been prayed for, using the traditional words taught to us by Jesus. Our Father, in heaven,
resources God has entrusted to us for life, for ministry together. Let us receive the morning offering.
Let us pray. Almighty Father, on this blessed Easter morning, we come to you a transformed people, eager to praise you and flourish as disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ. Use your resurrecting power to transform this humble tribute into life-changing gifts. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our perfect example of prayer, tribulation, and hope. Amen.
Thank you.
transforming love in your life, something physical, tangible in your hand, there are a few butterflies left over for you. Please feel free to take one, display it proudly where you can see each and every day a reminder, friends, of God's love for you, God's love that transforms each and every one of us and in this entire world to love. And we give thanks and we go with that love of God, the resurrection power of our Lord Jesus Christ and the courage from the Holy Spirit that it takes to go back out into this world and live it again. Alleluia. Friends, Christ is risen. Alleluia. Christ is risen indeed.